New hope springs from lost hope. How does that work? If you look at your life, we have a cyclical nature of how we come to the end of ourselves and something new begins. And the Bible is full of those stories. For example, Abraham was 100 years when God was talking to him about having a child, Isaac. At that point was the end of his road, and God brought about change. The Israelites waited for 10 plagues to get out of Egypt, and then get out, come to the Red Sea, and not know how to cross, and get hope that God can still function. And we've looked at many other people. David went down and out in his life with Bathsheba, didn't know that out of that, the line of Jesus was going to come from that very sin that he was repenting of. And we can go on and understand how sometimes you come to the end of yourself for something new to begin. So the question is today is, have you come to the end of yourself? Or are you feeling hopeless to the extent that you don't think anything new can happen? When that happens, it's a time for you to look at God. God will answer those questions that nobody else can answer. That you don't seem to know what to do, but God can answer that. When we understand that, our faith grows. When we understand that, our conviction grows. So, why do we feel inadequate? Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? That was a question he was posing to Jesus. That as far as the law goes and just being a good Jew, I'm doing that stuff. I'm perfect in that area. Then the Bible, Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possession and give to the poor. You will have the treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man had this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. We talk about this scripture and we focus on wealth. I don't think that wealth is a bad thing in any human being unless it becomes your God, small g God. You follow that? I don't think it's bad to be in a good place where you're able to help and provide for others. That's not a problem. But when you think about it, was that he was trying very hard to come to a place of, I am perfect. That was his quest. Really, that was the quest he was trying to have. If you think about it, the more we push the button of being perfect, the more we move away from God. Instead, we need to connect in such a way that we let God get known to us. And as he gets known to us, we begin to find him. Let me explain what I mean by that. Perfectionism doesn't make you feel perfect. It makes you feel inadequate. He was inadequate after that conversation with Jesus. He went away sad. Why? He was inadequate. Many of us feel inadequate because we think we can only walk with God if we are perfect. You will not succeed being a disciple of God if you're trying to be perfect. You will succeed being a disciple of Jesus Christ if you learn that it's okay to make mistakes and grow from them. So too many of us are afraid to even start that journey, to start out. Why? Because we pursue perfection. We become that like young man and says, you know what? He went away sad. And sometimes we live our Christian life trying to check all the things and say, what have I not done well? That is not the question. The question is, how am I knowing God and how am I growing as I know God? That is not the question he was asking. He wanted to say, I am perfect. It says, no, sell everything, then you'll be perfect. Well, how are you going to leave then? That becomes a question you have to ask yourself. It may be possible today that you feel inadequate because you have not embraced your imperfection. And because you refuse to embrace your imperfection, you don't go to God. You live in denial. You cannot deal with what you need to deal with. And so because you live in denial, you don't focus on God and let God help you, you keep being stuck in your old ways because you're trying to be perfect before you come to God. If you're visiting, we would want to welcome you and help you understand. We want to help you know God. We're imperfect people striving to know God who uses imperfect vessels. Then you can change. Then you can have empathy and reach out to other people. That is how it works. So he was struggling. He couldn't figure it out. Why? Because it was not perfect. Some of us are unhappy because our lives are not where we want them to be. You thought by 2017, I'll be here, I'll be there, I'll be this. And now you look at that and it's not perfect based on how you designed it. And that makes you very unhappy. That makes you feel like something is wrong with me. You are where God wants you to be. So this perfection, the pursuit of perfection, really makes us unhappy. I remember the early days of having my car and my first car and the second car and how I used to keep them and make sure the tires were polished, make sure the dashboard was polished and everything was polished. And any noise, I didn't entertain it. It needed to be fixed. And it was funny. Each time I did that, 2 weeks later, something happened. I had a ding or something happened. And I realized God was trying to say, you don't need to get your esteem from how this thing is perfect. You need to get your esteem from God. And I think that that car is your life. You're trying to polish it so hard. And each time you polish, a ding happens. And then you feel so frustrated. And you give up on God. Why? You're trying to be perfect. So you feel inadequate to be a disciple. You want to give up. Why? Not because God has changed. Because you don't come to Him in grace. You come to Him in your own standards of what you're doing. It has to be about God. That's when it functions well. Secondly, why is forgiveness a challenge? All this steals our hope. Everything I'm talking about here steals our hope. When you're perfect, you don't have hope. I was talking to a friend asking me questions about the Bible, and I told him I have been preaching since I was 24, but I don't know the answer to that question. And I said, I don't need to know it because I know one thing. If I'm right with God, I'm going to heaven. And he says, wow. As a preacher, I thought you'd try to get me to understand it a different way. I said, no, I don't know the answer. And you'll have to figure that out with God. So we can't pursue this perfection to the point of we don't need God. If you knew everything about God, then you don't need Him. Now, moving on, let's talk about why that. So that's what steals our hope. Because we are so focused on the performance, then our hope dies. So let's talk about the second thing. Why is forgiveness a challenge? Let's talk about that. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you receive it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will give you, will forgive your sins too. That when you're praying, or rather, if you believe, you can receive anything, but there's some things that get in the way of that. And that is, if you have a grudge against anyone, you need to go and you actually need to forgive. Because I'm trying to imagine if I'm praying and the guy I have a grudge lives in California. Do I stop praying and go to California or call him? He's saying, let go. And then continue praying. He's not saying that wait for him to say sorry to you. No. He said, let go and continue praying. He's not saying, when you have resolved it, then you can accept. No, he says, let go in the time of prayer. Many people have lost their hope because in bitterness of holding on grudges, they cannot have hope in God. When you hold stuff in your heart, it contaminates your faith, your purity of just being connected to God. So because you don't do that, it holds you down. And the Bible says, let go as you pray. Is it possible that the reason your prayers don't feel real, effective, and going anywhere, because you hold too much in your heart against people? It could be a guy in your office. It could be your neighbor. It could be past hurts. it could be just people, just life, what's going on. It just could be your experiences. Have you let go? Because if you don't, it affects your hope. Conscious living, connecting to God, requires you that we practice what Jesus taught us, that we forgive and move forward as we move, as we grow as Christians. I have questions for you. You know, or rather, let me say this. If you don't let go, even if that happened in 2003, this is 2017, but in reality, you live in 2003. If you don't let go, even if that happened in 2015, 2016, and 20, whatever 20 happened, or whatever 19 happened, or whatever 00 happened, you're there. Even though in reality, space has moved, your reality is you're stuck emotionally and spiritually. Though you hear the word of God, you cannot connect because even in prayer, you've never let go. And that is what gets in the way of even us building diversity. Because the things you've experienced in life, if you don't let go of that stuff, you cannot build a relationship with people that are not like you. And many of us can come to a place where it's okay to hold on grudges. You think it's fine to have grudges. We don't agree, that's okay. We have the cliche, we've agreed to disagree. That's not the way it goes. The Bible says, forgive and move on. Now we are afraid if we forgive, they're going to come back and use it against me. That is a paradigm of way of thinking. What you've done, I said it on Wednesday, by doing that, you mortgage your future to that person. That mortgage is now dependent on that person speaking to you or how they apologize, that's when you'll move forward. That person may not be in touch with the realities of why he's messed up with you. But you owe it to God to forgive them as God does forgive us and then move on. As they see you change, they will come to a realization of how that was hurtful to you. You know, there are people I've hurt before in my life. And I remember hurting people and I said, you know, I didn't see it at the time. Then maybe 4 years later, I went through different things, and then they didn't have to talk to me. I'm the one that called them back and said, I'm sorry about that. It took years later. There are people that have had me that never came back to me, but I had to say, well, I have to move on and forgive them and move forward. Some have never said, sorry, but that's not a big deal. If I see them, I'm going to say, hello, how are you doing? You say, how do you know you're forgiven? It's when you see them, does your chest go tight? Do you feel like I'm about to bust out right now? But some of that is traumatic. To that end, I say, pray and get counsel help. Some of that is traumatic. You need counsel help. But if we don't let go of that stuff, it gets away of our hope and in God. Life becomes easier when you learn to accept an apology you never got. It's easier. You'll start sleeping again and not waking up at 3 o'clock. You start sleeping again and not waking up at 2. I know that happens to me when I've not accepted it. When I accept it, I start sleeping again. You've got to figure that out for yourself, but the scriptures are very clear. That's how we go forward. When we're praying, we've got to let go at that point. What causes cynicism, doubt, suspicion? Lack of trust in God totally. Not giving ourselves to God. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root or bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupt many. Let's talk about this. Work at living in peace with everyone. Work at living in a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Righteousness is a journey we all take and must work at to grow and find God as move forward. Holiness is not something you attain and set. You keep growing in that area. Then he says, look, work at living holy life, for those who do, are holy will not, who are not holy will not see Lord, will not see the Lord. It's important to work at being pure in our hearts so that we can see God. It's not just some purity is not just that you're not being lustful and you're not being, you're not watching all these silly things that we watch, but rather that we are pure in how we see one another. We are pure in how we handle life within ourselves. How we see a different race, a different brother, a different sister. How we see each other, that we're pure about that. That is very important. That we don't hold grudges and cynicism around it. That we don't have generalized statements that hold us back. So look after each other so that none of you may fail to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Bitterness comes when you're not forgiving. That's where it comes from. When you're not letting go, that's when it begins to develop. Bitterness comes when you become a victim of what you've experienced in life. That you experienced became so strong that Jesus did not have a place to heal you. You may be saved, but not healed. Because Jesus has not been allowed to do the healing. Though you say Jesus is Lord, you've never allowed yourself space to heal and become a joyful Christian that loves God. So then you find this at play. That though you go to church, you struggle a lot with just being joyful. Not based on you paying out all the credit cards. Not based on everything is going great. Just joy because Jesus is Lord. Not based on you have the job of your dream. No, because Jesus is Lord. Not based on you have children of your dream, because Jesus is Lord. If you understand that, it turns around quickly. It takes away cynicism. So I want to ask you a question. Are you cynical? Are you cynical about your husband? He's like that. Are you cynical about your wife? She's never going to change. You're cynical about your children. They're going to be children. They can't be any better. You start having statements that really show no hope. We can be cynical about many things, our jobs, our lives, our future. That happens because we let poisonous roots to develop in our hearts. Cynicism is dangerous. Because it turns anger into a virtue. The Bible says, anger does not bring about righteousness that God desires. So it's dangerous. It's up to you to decide, how am I living? What is your predisposition? Are you angry all the time? How do you respond to life? Or do you focus on God? Learn to trust God in adversity. His wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. But Job replied, you talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only God, only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. You read the whole story, there are friends of Job that come and say the same thing. It's not just women. Also men do the same thing. It's not just both ways we do these things. Does that make sense? So he was going through a hard time. We know the story is that he was being tested by the devil and he lost everything. Everything. Not because he did anything wrong. Our version of thinking is that if something goes wrong, you must be doing something wrong. That you're going through something because God is punishing you. God doesn't operate like that. Then he would not have sent his son on the cross to die for people that were not even ready to receive him. He still sent them anyway. So we invert that gospel and say, "This you're going through this because you're not obeying God." Yes, there are consequences of not staying with God. Don't get that wrong. However, just being with God is not a license to get away from trouble. You can still get it even when you're with God. So that we don't turn worship with God as an insurance from not struggling with life. That's not true. We're going to be tested either way. Why? Because it's about being in love with God, not what we receive from God. The theology of come to God to receive good stuff is flawed. Come to God because He is God. Not because you have to receive anything from Him. That if you're in love with God, the rest will take care of itself. But if it doesn't, don't question God. That is part of your spiritual growth. Trouble sometimes brings about a lot of growth. So this story between Job and his wife, they're going back and forth because she's persuaded that maybe this is why you're going through this, because of your relationship with God. And he says, we have to accept both good and bad from God. So I have a question for you. When you think God is doing great, how do you do in that area? You praise Him, right? But some of us, God blesses us and we disappear. He blesses you and you disappear with a blessing. When trouble comes, you try to come back and pray and you stop doing different things. Sometimes when trouble comes, we stop praying. We stop reading the Bible. We're angry with God. I'm angry with you, God, because you didn't do what you said my life is supposed to be. And we look at the world and envy the world. Instead of reaching out to the world and showing them God, we envy the world because we think, if you are my God, why am I going through this? We forget that it's all tailored to your life so that you may find God. Remember, Acts 17 says that you're here so that you may find Him. That you live where you live so that you may find Him. So learn to trust God in adversity. Who are you trusting in adversity? Do you escape in video games when adversity comes? You just play video games and play video games and play video games and hope that by the time you finish playing, the troubles have left you. Well, by the time you finish playing the game, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. What do? Some of us just sleep and sleep and sleep and hope that somehow you'll wake up from that sleep and it's gone. You go to God. And some of us worry and worry and worry. The Bible says, do not worry. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. Do not worry. Let go of that stuff and be transformed. So, should we accept only good things? No. Expecting the world to be fair because you are fair is like expecting the lion not to eat you because you didn't eat him. That's true. It took me a long time to understand that. I'd be in relationships and I said, I treated these people so good. Why did they treat me so bad? That is the answer right there. That's the answer right there. And many of us are hung up and hamstrung at workplaces, in home, in places, in church, because we think that life needs to be fair all the time. If God was to be fair, none of us would be sitting here today. We'll be dead. Because we're not righteous in the eyes of God. Our righteousness is filthy rags. So He doesn't treat us with fairness. He treats us with love and compassion. So I'm not asking you to go eat the lion because in the process you may get hurt. It's a powerful animal. But to be aware that just because you're doing something right, don't get confused if it doesn't work the way you want it to work sometimes. Learn and grow from what's going on there. You can do everything right, but sin can still kick back. It is what happened. What happened is God is training you to trust Him in adversity. That is what happened to Job. Job had done everything right, but it still kicked back. Learning to trust God in adversity. See, that is a difficult lesson for most people. It can get you depressed if you don't get it right. If you don't understand this point, depression is on your way. You've got to let go of this stuff. And learn to let God teach you where you are at and grow and turn from that point. Too many times we're trying to figure everything and not giving it to God and walking with today. I hope and pray that this morning you understand the hope we have in God. You cannot do that hope If you're not letting go of issues that hold you back, you cannot get hope if you're cynical. You cannot get hope if you do not learn to trust God in adversity. It's a journey we must all undertake. So I hope that this week, as you'll heard this morning, and we talked about being unified, and as you heard in communion, how God uses different things to train us, that you will take that journey for yourself and grow and become what God needs you to be. If you need to talk to someone, please do talk to someone. If you're visiting, we hope that you can join and we can study the Bible and help you become a disciple like we are trying to. If you've been a disciple a long time and you've had some hopeless days, I hope you can start afresh. God bless you.